Hello, and thank you for joining us today as we study through the Bible and study another part of God's Word. And today we want to address the matter of the Holy Spirit and His work. We want to talk about the Holy Spirit because He's just the third person of the Godhead. He is the important third person of the Godhead that we don't really spend a lot of time studying like we do the Father and we do the Son, Jesus Christ. So today we're going to study about the Holy Spirit. We're going to study about His work and what He is to do. You know, God the Father has work that He does. Jesus Christ has work that He has done. He came to this earth, took on human form, lived a human life, suffered and died on the cross. His work was finished. He said on the cross, "It is finished." He had accomplished what God had sent him to do. But the Holy Spirit had work to do as well. We want to talk about Him. We find Him and the Father and the Son mentioned in passages like Matthew 28 and 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. So there are three in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Godhead is a word we find in the Bible. Paul went to the city of Athens and preached there, and he talked about the unknown God. They didn't know the God of heaven. In verse 23, he says, "As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" And so in verse 29, he says, "For as much then as we are offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." So there is a Godhead. And that Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also find the word Godhead in Colossians 2 and verse 9 as it refers to Jesus. It says that He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so Christ is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit, they all share the same nature, and that nature is the nature of deity. Now, the Holy Spirit was found in the very first book of the Bible, the very first opening verses of the Bible, in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." There is the Spirit of God right there in the first part of the book of Genesis. But also the Spirit is in the last book of the Bible. He's in the first book, the first chapter. But He's in the last book of the Bible, the last chapter and the closing verses. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that heareth say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is in the first book of the Bible, helping out in the work of creation. But also, the part of the work that we're going to talk about today is His part in the inspiration of the Bible. His work really focused upon the inspiration of the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 20, "We have also knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's his main work, or his most important work. He has done other things, but one of the things that he did, now Jesus, he's done a lot of things as well, but his main focus was to come to this earth, live as a man, and die for our sins. The Holy Spirit, his major work was to move holy men of God and deliver God's word through them. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a magic force. He's not that. He can speak. He's not magic. He's not a liquid. He is a spirit. And he can speak, and he can teach, and he can testify. We know this from reading the Bible. Listen to John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He, there it is, the Holy Spirit is a he, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He was to inspire the Word of God. Now it's a he, and the he can teach. Not only that, but he would teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He didn't leave anything out. The Bible is complete. We have everything that we need. But also notice John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Notice that he's called the Spirit of truth, because he delivered the truth to us, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, so the Holy Spirit is a he, it's he's a person, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So that's his work. He does his work by speaking, by teaching, by testifying. He can speak. And so we need to understand the Holy Spirit is not some kind of magical force that you can't, that isn't an individual. That's not true. He is an individual. He can speak, he can teach, he can reveal, he can bring to remembrance the things that Jesus said to his disciples. That was his work. But he can speak, and he speak very clearly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Spirit can speak very clearly and pointedly. What did the Spirit speak expressly? That in latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's the things that shall come to pass. We read a moment ago in John 15 and 26 and 16 and 13. He shall show you things to come. Well, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What else did the Spirit say? He said they would be speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What else did the Spirit speak expressly? He said that they would be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be revealed, with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And so that's what the Spirit said. The Spirit is a person. Yes, he is a spirit. But so is God. John 4 and 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he can speak. He's an individual. He worked during the time of Christ, as we see in Matthew chapter 4. I want to read with you the baptism of Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, "Then the people set in darkness saw great light to them which sat in the region to shadow about the light. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But later on, in verse, when he was baptized here in chapter 3 and verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway and out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So we're seeing that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit can speak, he can teach, he can testify. He was there to guide all men into all truth, inspired holy men. He moved them to record the Word of God. But now let's go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. Jesus is saying his final words upon this earth. And his disciples are listening very carefully to him. And in this account of Acts 1, he tells them in verse number 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, the promise of the Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but you 12, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together and asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But you shall receive power." Notice that. They're going to receive what? They're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the promise. "And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So they were told of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which would shortly come to pass. And so we're going to find out that the Spirit was speaking. In Acts 1 and verse 15, "In those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was to guide them and that took Jesus." And so the Holy Spirit had said this in the Old Testament by the mouth of David. And the prophecy was in verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." That's what the Holy Spirit said through David in the book of Psalms. That was his work. His work was to present God's word. Isn't that wonderful? Now, in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, here's when the power comes, the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." Power came, but it also came with sounds. "And it filled all the house where they were sitting. But also they could see something visibly. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them." And this tells us what this was all about, the sound and the fire. What was it all about? Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak, this is the power, to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man heard them speak in his own language. That is the power. And so they begin to wonder about that. How could these Galileans speak in our language? So the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said, you wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And he did come. He came with audible sounds, and he came with a visual presentation. And they began to speak the words, and the words were provided by the Holy Spirit. And so they spoke the utterances of God. And then in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Where are those words coming from? Those words are coming from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was giving them the utterances. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now those words spoken by the prophet Joel was also supplied by the Holy Spirit. But notice verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. There's the power. And so the Holy Spirit would be giving power. He would pour out of his Spirit. He wasn't pouring out his Spirit. He was pouring out the power of his Spirit. And so he provided the words on this day. That was his work. Now, David is referred to here. The words of David. I want to go back to 2 Samuel as we talk about the Holy Spirit. 2 Samuel, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel, passage 23 or chapter 23. And listen to this, verses 1 and 2. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. David was an inspired man. How was he inspired? The Spirit. What did the Spirit do? The Spirit gave him words. The Spirit guided the apostles. He guided David. He guided all inspired men, Moses, whoever it was, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of those books of the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1 and 21. He guided all the apostles. He guided all the holy men to speak God's word. And so when we're reading the scripture, we're reading what God, the Holy Spirit, has revealed. When we see that he speaks expressly, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly, such as in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, we're reading what he said. And he's provided for us God's divine testament. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. Now listen to this from Ephesians chapter 3, or read it with me if you will. Ephesians 3 and verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now Paul was writing inspired instruction right here. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in few words. God made known the mystery of Paul, and he wrote it down, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. God revealed it to him. He wrote it down. We're reading it. And when we read it, we have Paul's understanding. Notice Ephesians 3 and verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a job. He has a work, and that is to reveal God's word. Verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and the partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. That's the mystery that was revealed. It's not a mystery anymore. How did God reveal it? He revealed it by his Spirit. Who did he reveal it to? To his holy apostles and prophets. That's what he did. He did that through the Spirit. Now I want to read another important passage with you. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revealed God's will to us. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. What are they speaking? They're speaking the inspired word of God as provided by the Holy Spirit, who searched the deep things of God and revealed it unto them. That's why it's not a mystery anymore that the Gentiles should also be a part of the gospel or reap the salvation by the gospel of Christ. He said, which, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches. Look at that. He's a person. He teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit speaks God's word. That is his work. And when he does, he gives us the powerful gospel, Romans 1 and 16. He gives us a sword. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces down into the very inward parts of man. And it reveals to us the truth that will make you free. And when we obey the truth, we'll be free from sin. Romans 6 and verses 17 and 18. And when we listen to the word, it will make us free from sin. We'll become Christians and be the people that God wants us to be. Matter of fact, the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6 and verse 17. It's called the power of God, Romans 1 and 16. So what the Holy Spirit has done, he's revealed the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we preach it, people will be affected in their inner man, their inward man, and be converted from their sins. God's word is special. It has every ingredient necessary to produce a Christian. You are a Christian because the word of God has influenced you. Now, what have we studied so far? We've studied that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's called a he. He teaches, he reveals, he speaks. He's revealed the word of God by inspired men through their voices and through their pens. He's in the first chapter of Genesis. He's in the last chapter of Revelation. He has supplied the wonderful and powerful word of God that we've been reading today, every word of it. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit has revealed every word. We're thankful for this information, which helps us to understand the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is a part of the Godhead. He is deity. And we're thankful that he has given us God's holy and divine word, the Bible. We have a Bible. Thank you for tuning in, friends. We hope this study today has helped you to better understand the Holy Spirit and his work. Thank you, and we hope to see you again. God bless.